Today on A Daily Walk.
Let me ask you tonight, where and what foundation are you building on? There are a lot of people in this world tonight, in the midst of this storm, they built their house on the sand. But as the people of God, we built our house upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus. And so regardless of the storm that comes, or the virus that makes its way through, we're gonna stand strong because we are rooted in Christ and because we are built upon Him, and therefore we are established.
Whether you're facing an illness, financial trouble, or a struggle with depression, be encouraged to take it to Jesus today on A Daily Walk. Pastor John Randall is about to open Colossians 2 and emphasize a very important truth. Jesus is sufficient, and we're complete in Him. It's such a relief when you come to realize that we don't need to go looking out for something else. We have everything we need and ever will need in the Lord.
Folks, listen to this. Paul desired that these believers in Colossae would understand all of the blessings that were theirs in Christ. Now, the false teachers that had come into the church seeking to disrupt the work of the Lord and undermine and lead people astray, what they suggested is there's more out there. I mean, it's great that you have Jesus, but there's a whole lot more out there. You need to open up your mind. You need to experiment a little bit. You need to continue to progress and learn some other things that you don't know that can't be found in Christ. They spoke of a deeper knowledge that someone could discover, that they could possess. But here's the truth. That was a lie. That was a lie. It wasn't available. It was man's wisdom. It was vain philosophy. And the apostle, what he does is he uses one of the favorite words of the false teachers who were known as, they were called the Gnostics, and it's the word knowledge. They loved that word. And what Paul points out to the believers here in Colossae is they already had knowledge in Christ. There wasn't any knowledge outside of Jesus. It was all there. There's a higher wisdom that you need to find. Paul said, no, listen. Everything you need is found in Christ. He is sufficient. He is your wisdom. He is your peace. The knowledge of the mystery, the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge, they're all found in Jesus. Can I just say to you tonight, if you're watching online, listen, you're never going to find anything better than Jesus. Jesus has everything you need. If you need wisdom tonight, ask the Lord. You say, I don't know what to do about the situation I'm in. Do I go to Costco? Do I go to Ralph's? Do I go to Sprouts? Where do I go? Ask the Lord. He'll show you. Is there any toilet paper left? I'm sure there is. God is faithful. You don't have to worry. You can trust Him. Ask Him for wisdom tonight. Maybe you're wondering, well, what about my job? They've given me a pay cut. And what about this? And what about my parents? They're older and I'm concerned. Listen, guys, we got to take that to the Lord. He is the answer for us and for this world. We need wisdom found in Him. You know, oftentimes as believers, and I will say, I can't believe how relevant this text is tonight, but oftentimes as believers, we can easily forget or fail to understand all that we truly have in Christ. You know, the Bible says that the Lord has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that everything we need is found in Christ. Perhaps we haven't taken time to consider what we have been given in the present, and more so, what we have promised us in the future. Folks, listen. It's pretty evident this is not all that there is. This is temporary. There is heaven. There is glory. There is Jesus for eternity. That's where we're headed. And it's times like these that we're reminded that life is fragile, that Jesus is coming soon, and that we're not invincible, regardless of what country we live in. As wonderful and amazing as it is, listen, we need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. But sometimes I think we fail to realize all that we already possess in Christ. You know, it's interesting. I was reading a story about W.R. Hearst. He was one wealthy individual. Perhaps you visited his castle, Hearst Castle. Anyways, I always wanted to swim in the pool, but they wouldn't let me. But anyways, he had an insatiable appetite for purchasing and securing great works of art. And he had warehouses full of works of art. And one day, The story goes, he came across a painting, found out about it. He thought it was attractive. He wanted it for his collection. And so he called some of his employees together and he told them to go out and search for this painting and whatever the price was to purchase it and bring it. And so they went out, they researched it. And at first they were unable to find it. But after 3 months, the story goes, of diligently making inquiries wherever they could, they came back to Mr. Hurst saying that this 3 month search had led them to the place where the painting was located. And it turned out Hurst already had it. He already possessed it. He was saying, I really need this particular, but he already had it. And I think sometimes as Christians, we're grasping for this or we're looking for that or what I really need is this. And what we don't realize is all that we already possess in Christ. Folks, we're the children of God. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you know what you have tonight? Are you aware? Do you know what you really need? And so it's so important for us. And Paul desired that the church here in Colossae would know everything that they had. If they needed wisdom, they already had it. It was found in Christ. Wisdom to navigate through life, wisdom to navigate through trials. It was found in Jesus. But now we come to the reason why it was that Paul was conflicted and why it was that he was so concerned as he begins to combat and unmask the false teachers. Note what it says here in verse 4. It says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul now expresses his reason for writing and agonizing over them in prayer is because he wanted them to be on guard against those who were coming into the congregation with, he uses the phrase, persuasive words. And these persuasive words were with the intention of deception. These guys who were coming into the church, they were great at what they did. They were gifted orators. They had an impressive presentation with a false premise. And the motive behind the false teaching of the Gnostics, it was simply, not simply to impress their audience with their intellectual rhetoric, but rather it was to mislead them. They were encouraging the church to turn away from the gospel, and they were very persuasive, and they had great arguments, and they were leading people in a different direction. You know something? There are people like that in this world today. They're saying, really, that's the God you serve? Listen, I've read the Bible. Boy, he murdered these people, and he killed those people, and he judged people that way. How could you serve a God like that? I don't believe, people say, in a God that could send people to hell. And you've heard all the arguments. And sometimes they're very persuasive. And why would God allow this? And why would God allow something like this to hit our nation and the world at the present time? People wonder. J.I. Packer, he warned and he said, quote, the sad experience shows that bad theology infects the heart with misbelief and unbelief. The spiritual equivalence of multiple sclerosis, he said. Many who ran well have been progressively paralyzed through ingesting bad theology. And he said that danger remains. Theological expertise can feed intellectual pride, turning one into a person who cares more for knowing true notions than for knowing the true God. And that is disastrous too, close quote. In spite of the false teachers, Paul expressed his confidence in the congregation in verse 4. And he said this, he said, you know something? I'm rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Again, please note this. Paul is writing this from prison. The church is under attack. They are in the midst of hardship. And what does he say? He said, you know something? I'm rejoicing. How are you able to rejoice? Because I know something about you. I know of your good order and of your steadfastness in Christ. When Paul uses the phrase good order, meaning in the midst of the attack that the church was under from the false teachers, They remained like an orderly array of soldiers, with the line being unbroken and intact. Paul said that's how he looked at the church. He saw that they were intact, that they weren't turning away, that they were standing strong. They were locking shields. They weren't going to bend. Even though the enemy was coming in and trying to break the line, they stood strong in good order. Friends, listen, this is the time when the church needs to stand strong in good order, regardless of what is presented to us from this culture, regardless of they try to shout us down saying we're intolerant. No, we are tolerant in the sense, but we are loving and we're going to stand our ground. It's on this hill that we're going to die. We're not going to bend. We're not going to bow to the pressures of the world that we have to, no, we're going to stand. Paul said, I'm rejoicing in your good order. But he also said, not only in their good order, but also in their steadfastness. What that word means, it just means in that good order, they were immovable. They weren't going, we're not going to move. We're not going to be shaken. We're not going to move from this spot. We're on solid ground and we're going to stand fast. Paul then exhorts them, as you proceed in this passage, he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Paul says, as you receive the gospel, when you heard the message of the gospel, how you heard it, the way you received it, stand in that. Don't move from that. Don't be persuaded to go any other direction. Keep it simple. Continue to cultivate a relationship with Jesus. Listen, don't get away from the simplicity of loving Jesus, the simplicity of reading your Bible, the simplicity and the beauty of worshiping him in spirit and in truth. These are things that are such a blessing that you never want to get away from. Paul says, as you receive Jesus, then you walk with Jesus. As you received him, walk in it. When he speaks of walking, it means your manner of living. You received him, now walk as though you've received him. Walk with him. The person that says, I received Jesus, but doesn't walk with Jesus, it's difficult to know whether or not they've actually received him. Because it appears from the way that they live that they didn't understand what it meant to receive him, or they're not walking closely with him. Paul says, listen, if you've received him, walk with him. You know, I'm so thankful tonight that I don't have to walk alone. That Jesus, when he said, follow me, he literally meant walk the same road with me. That he is with me. He's with you tonight. You're not alone. I want to say to you people tonight, maybe you don't have a family. Maybe you're a single person tonight. Maybe you're at home or your kids are separated from you and you're by yourself. I want to speak to you tonight because you've been on my heart too. And I've been praying for you. And I want you to know that if you're at home or you're by yourself and you don't have anybody with you, let me just tell you something. Jesus is with you. As real as any physical person, tangible in the room, he's there. His presence, he's with you. And I want you to know that tonight. And I also want you to know we're thinking about you tonight. We haven't forgotten about you. We're praying for you. The Lord is with you. He hasn't left you alone. He said he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Walking with Jesus, what does it imply? It means action. It means progress. It means continuance. It means habit. And Paul adds to that in verse 7, be rooted and built up in him. I love these pictures. You know, Paul was fond of using different metaphors to give us descriptions of walking with Jesus, of being built up in Christ. And I love that he uses these two pictures here. The word used for rooted is the word which would be used of a tree with its roots going deep into the soil. The word used for built is a word which would be used of a house placed upon a firm foundation. And just as a tree is deeply rooted in the soil and draws its nourishment from the root system below, and a house stands strong and firm because of the foundation that it's built on, Paul's saying that's how we need to be as the church of Jesus Christ. We want to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. You remember Jesus talked about the importance of abiding. There in John chapter 15, Jesus said, abide in me and let my word abide in you. And he said, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, you'll bear much fruit. And it's this picture of having your roots go deep into the word of God. And the natural byproduct of abiding in Christ is there is spiritual fruit that comes forth from your life. Being rooted in Christ, not uprooted, but deeply rooted. How do I be deeply rooted in the Lord? By spending time in the word, by spending time in prayer, by spending time in fellowship. These are ways that we are rooted and grounded in the love of God. And when you're rooted in Jesus, man, the world might try to uproot you and the winds might blow and howl, but you are deeply rooted in him and in his promises. And Paul also was encouraging the believers not just to be rooted, but also to be built on Christ and how important it is to be rooted and to be built. I remember reading where Jesus talked about the two types of people that built a house. He said there was one man that built the house on sand. And then there was another man that built a house on a solid foundation, which was a rock. Both of those men had two different locations, and they both went through a similar storm. It says that the rains came down and beat upon both of the houses. It wasn't that they both went through the same thing. They were both affected. But the man whose house was built on the sand was washed away, was destroyed, because it wasn't a solid foundation. But the other man whose house was built on a rock, the Bible says, it stood firm. Let me ask you tonight, where and what foundation are you building on? There are a lot of people in this world tonight, in the midst of this storm, they've built their house on the sand. But as the people of God, we've built our house upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus. And so regardless of the storm that comes or the virus that makes its way through, we're going to stand strong because we are rooted in Christ and because we are built upon him, and therefore we are established, which literally means constantly being established, our faith in Jesus. And then finally tonight, Paul says in verse 8, he says, well, two more verses. He said, beware. Here comes the warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you through empty deceit, through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul says, listen, I've got to warn you about this. This is imperative that you understand what I'm about to say to you. The apostle sends up a warning flare concerning the false teaching that had been circulating. And he says, beware. And the word that he uses for beware means I need you to constantly be looking out and keeping a watchful eye. If the Colossian believers chose to veer off from the simplicity that was found in Christ, or if they chose to fall asleep, as it were, at their post in the midst of this battle, then they were going to be cheated. And the word means spoiled. They were going to be carried away captive. Figuratively, it's a picture of carrying somebody away from the truth into the slavery of error. You can't afford that. And so Paul is saying here, listen, I don't want anybody to cheat you. And how were they seeking to cheat them? They were seeking to cheat them through philosophy, vain philosophies of men, and also empty deceit. These are the things that this knowledge that came from the basic principles of the world. Listen, there is a way that the world thinks, and there's a way that the people of God think. There's a perspective from the world, and there's a perspective of those who are in Christ. And listen, friends, if you're going to live for Jesus, you're not going to line up with all of the world's standards. You're like a fish that's going upstream. Because what the world believes and what the world holds dear isn't what necessarily what Jesus holds dear and what his word holds dear. So there's this conflict. There's this battle between the two. And we're even right now in this world, we find there is so much pressure, I believe like never before, to cave in to the culture. And some churches, some places, they're caving into it. They're giving into it. They're embracing it. And I believe the day is coming, and perhaps we're in it even now, when our stance for Christ is going to be challenged even more. And we need to make a decision like Daniel, even before we are confronted with Babylon, that we're not going to defile ourselves, that we're not going to turn from the Lord. Paul said, I don't want you to be cheated. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be carried away with the basic principles of the world, and they're not according to Christ. And so he says in verse 9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. What an amazing passage right there. In Jesus, Paul says here, dwells the entire fullness of God. Not simply divine attributes, but absolute deity. Jesus is the fountainhead of all spiritual life. In him alone, there is continuously and permanently at home the fullness of the Godhead in bodily fashion, is what Paul is saying. And Paul says there, and I love this, guys, verse 10. Please look at this. You are, I love this word. You might even want to circle it. Complete in Jesus. You're complete in him. You say, well, I want to be complete. A family's going to make me complete. That's not going to make you complete. I need a wife. That's going to make me complete. That's not going to make you totally complete. I need a husband, someone says. That's going to make me complete. Listen, you want to know where completeness is found? In Christ. In Jesus, you are complete, the Bible says. Ministry doesn't make you complete. Making more money is not going to make you complete. My completeness, my sufficiency, it's found in Christ. I'm complete in him. You know, sometimes the world may look at us and say, well, you're not enough. And the truth is, I'm not enough, but Jesus is enough. Where are you looking to find fulfillment? Where are you looking for your completeness? Can I tell you tonight? It's found in one place. It's found in Christ. Paul doesn't say you might be complete in him. He says emphatically, you are complete in Jesus. And he loves you tonight the way that you are. Now, that's not to say he's not going to change you, that he's going to alter your disposition, that he's going to work things into your life like humility and patience and trust, faith, love, generosity. These are things that God will work into our lives. But I want you to know something. You're complete in him. He loves you perfectly tonight. Do you know that? It's our prayer, folks, as you're watching this tonight online, as Paul prayed here, agonized in prayer, that you would be encouraged in your heart. That you would be, and we would be, knit together in the love of Christ. That separation temporarily couldn't tear us apart, but prayerfully draw us closer together. And also that you would understand tonight, everything that you have in Jesus, all the treasures, the hidden wisdom, everything you need, it's found in him. You're complete in him.
As we draw today's edition of A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall to a close, I have just a few things to tell you about that you might be interested in. What you heard today is one part of a series of studies based in Colossians. Call us if you'd like a CD copy at 877-242-0828. You can also listen to A Daily Walk online at adailywalk.org. And we also have an app that makes listening and viewing messages really easy through your mobile device. It's available on Google Play, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Roku. Just do a search for CCSJC. Maybe you didn't realize it, but we also have a TV ministry. You can now watch A Daily Walk on demand at lightsource.com and at hischanneltv.com. We have an exciting announcement. Pastor John has a new podcast called Spread the Word. Don't miss these weekly podcasts as John shares his thoughts on current events through the lens of the Bible and spreads the word about Jesus. Look for it on Apple or Google Podcasts or Spotify. I should add, A Daily Walk is available by podcast too. Not long ago, Pastor John delivered a timely series called Courage is Contagious. And we have a t-shirt we'd like to offer you today that has that phrase beautifully portrayed on the front of it. You might think of it as a way of encouraging yourself and those around you to be courageous for Christ in these difficult days. The cost is $15. You can order that by calling 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. Or just visit adailywalk.org and look for our e-store. If you can include a little extra, that would be greatly appreciated. As people are looking for hope and encouragement right now, we believe God is using radio and the internet in even greater ways. With your help, we're able to provide that to them. So thank you. Again, donations can be made at adailywalk.org or by calling 877-242-0828. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but come back next time when Pastor John Randall will again open and study the book of Colossians with us. A Daily Walk is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.